popping, part two, people. Same lineup as part one. Different content, thankfully. I wanted to dig into... Well, first of all, we got to call Andy Dick. See if he's ready to live up to his promise.
Does he have a time frame we're supposed to call there? Or just
I don't know, Jay. What do you think?
He just said Monday, and there's, a 3-hour time zone difference, so...
There's no way he's...
We're still in the same zone, basically, when you called before.
No way he answers. No way.
I think it's 20. I'm going to say 20%. But Jay seemed really pretty confident, I got to say.
Probably getting snowed big time by a dick.
Are you going to put your a percentage on it?
I'll do 40.
Oh, okay. So it's still...
I think I pulled Jay's confidence level down. Sorry, Jay.
It's probably a 60 before, but yeah, 40.
It was one of those things, too, where we were going to call him, and usually Jay will just blow through the board.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jay was so sure he wasn't going to answer, he just called him himself, and he fucking answers. Can you believe that?
Well, and I was going upstairs, too, because the dogs were barking at something upstairs.
Yeah.
So when Charlie was here nagging that we talked to Sheen, you know, and he wasn't here.
Right.
Okay, giving a shit about calling celebs on the days that he's not here. So I was just trying to blow through any of our celebs we had listed and figure I tried Andy while I was going up the stairs. And as I'm going upstairs, he picked up.
Wait, the draw. LaDuff's mad because we don't try people when he's here? His best friend is Arnold Schwarzenegger. Why don't we call Schwarzenegger?
Well, I told
next
him.
Time
I said, pull your Rolodex out.
Yeah, he's got a strong Rolodex.
Absolutely.
What was his excuse for that?
I don't think he even attempted one.
Nope.
Say anything, did he?
Mm.
Yeah. No, he just likes to bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Fall downstairs.
Yeah, he was still recovering from his near concussion, so.
Is he going to wear those sweet glasses that Hillary had to wear for 6 months?
Oh, the glasses she was wearing when she stumbled? Or
the
when
concussion
she,
glasses, yeah. For
she
her
thinks she's cool as hell, isn't she?
Oh, my God, they look ridiculous. They look like when, remember when Jerry Seinfeld had to pull those glasses from the box?
Yes.
At the movie theater? That's what she looked like.
She thought she was so cool.
And they look ridiculous.
And then that whole scene with her leaving Chelsea's, feeling great!
That, you know, we just watched that again in the break because the nightly news was rolling. It looks ridiculous.
When she comes out?
It's like a bizarre photo op. Like, what is she doing?
Where's Secret Service there, by the way?
Well,
isn't that
there's
odd?
There's a side angle. You know, I mean, notice it's New York City. Nobody's walking down the sidewalk. They have it all
except
kind
that
of...
little girl.
I know, which... How did that little...
The three-year-old's hanging out by herself in the middle of New York?
Total photo op. That's why they let that kid go. But you can see the Secret Service kind of had like a crescent shape.
About
blocking people so she could get to her car. But instead of just leaving and waving and go to the car, she stops, waves, says, feeling great. Great day in New York City, which is a weird thing to do before she gets in the car. I told Jay they probably shot her up with some adrenaline. And then the second she got in the car, just totally melted and collapsed.
Was that Black Secret Service guy anywhere near her? He's the doctor that shoots her up.
He was just inside the door well before he pushed
he
her
was.
Out there. Something's up, man.
We're hoping to talk to Linda Thompson. She's she's written songs. She's won a Grammy, I think. A little thing called Love.
She has?
Yeah, she wrote a bunch of songs. I think David Foster did them, a few of her songs. And she's no incredible talent, except for attracting guys. She can definitely pull in some big ones, like Elvis from 70 to 74. And then she ends up with she married Bruce Jenner. And someone obviously said to her at some point, she married David Foster too, who's, you know, had quite a career. Mothered, she birthed Brody and Brady Jenner. What's the other, Bradley Jenner?
Brandon.
Brandon, that's right.
Yeah.
Brandon and Brody. Anyway, somebody must have said, holy shit, you spent 4 years with Elvis and you spent 4 years with Bruce Jenner? There's a book there, honey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more than a book. I mean, it's a pretty good read. The Elvis part, of course, is great. And I like that she naturally is not going to trash Elvis, but she didn't go out of her way to leave all the fun stuff out. And when I say the fun stuff, I mean stuff like she actually confirmed the story that Elvis, when he got his badge from Nixon, and Elvis had fired that one guy, a guy they called Fetch It, because that was pretty much his job working for Elvis, was just getting stuff. Fetch It was fired by Elvis at one point because everyone just thought he was a weirdo. And he's the one that stole the ring and also the kinky Polaroids Elvis had.
Oh, really?
Of, I believe it was Priscilla fooling around with another chick in white cotton panties. She didn't say it was Priscilla, though. She said she saw the pictures, and she just said it was two girls who were not lesbians but were getting it on with each other.
And this guy stole the pictures from Elvis?
Yes. And so Elvis was of course, livid. I think because it was Priscilla. Furious. That's why I think he lost it. So Elvis, truth be told, entered the airport and used his badge to get on the plane and pull that guy off the fucking plane.
That's right. Okay. Did that. I didn't know that was him.
She didn't mention the fact that this is mentioned in multiple other books, that Elvis actually read his rights, read the rights to the guy, but he completely muffed it. He's like, you have a right to
come with the king.
Silence right now. And
wow.
You need a lawyer, you can call a guy.
How old would Elvis be today?
Elvis would be, I think, be 82 or something.
82. Now, do you think he would like that all these stories are out about him, or do you think he'd laugh about him today?
I think he'd be laughing about this stuff. Yeah, I really
would kind of. I'd like to think that, right?
Yeah. I mean, he definitely has a sense of humor.
Like you always say, he was the king of excess. He was the first rock and roll star.
No, Elvis is pretty cool. And she definitely is good to him in the book. Not always. I mean, it's not all. She doesn't soft pedal the drug stuff. I mean, that story about the doctor and the rehab where he says, I'm going to see this doctor for a special treatment, weight loss treatment. And then Elvis gets to the doctor's house, puts on his pajamas, and the guy gives him a pill, and Elvis is knocked out for 8 hours. And then he wakes up and takes another pill and is knocked out for another 8 hours. And he proceeds to do that for 2 weeks while she sits there in this doctor's house.
God.
What the hell is that?
You don't feel very much when you're on the stuff.
Actually, he was shooting him. Wasn't he shooting him?
Yeah.
It wasn't even a pill. But anyway, I moved on to Bruce Jenner because I thought, well, that's going to be something to that, too. And it's really it's a horrible story. She's just come out of the Elvis thing, and Elvis is just, well, you know, he's Elvis, and he's cheating on her big time, and she just decides, I can't live this life where this guy tells me what to do all the time and I have to be a complete submissive to this superstar. It's the only way it's going to work with him. You're not, you know, if she
He's
had,
not changing.
Yeah, if she had decided to have some backbone, she'd have been out on her ass and she knew it. So she just decided, it's time to move on. And he dies not too long after that, actually about a year after that he dies. And there's one shitty story in there about Priscilla Presley too. Vernon calls up Linda and says, Linda, I really want you to come to the funeral. And she says, well, yeah, of course I was planning to. I'm glad you called. And he said, the Lisa Marie is out there on the West Coast, and it's picking up a few people, mm-hmm. and here's where you can go meet the plane. Mm-hmm. He didn't know where to meet the plane. He said, call Priscilla. She knows. She could tell you where to meet the plane. So she calls Priscilla, and Priscilla says, you're not going on his plane. She's like, huh? And she said, I just talk to Vernon? She said, When I get off that plane, I'm not going to have you getting off the plane next to me. That's crazy.
Just because of jealousy?
I guess she just felt that only one woman could get off the Lisa Marie.
Who cares at a moment like that?
Well, she wasn't. She fucking cheated on him with a karate instructor and divorced him. Why would she have any?
Wow. Well,
you know, just because she's Lisa Marie's mother. I mean, that gave her some precedence, I guess, but then she was married to him. Linda Thompson had been with him for 4 years since she split up with him. I mean, she was just being a real catty bitch.
Pretty ridiculous.
And for some reason, Vernon, you know, put her in control, and actually it ended up being a good thing because she did a great job marketing Graceland. My God, if they made money off that. But she sounded like a real first-class bitch about that whole deal. That plane, by the way. It's really funny. When Elvis gets tired or there's another piece of ass he wants to pursue, he tells Linda, Linda, I think you ought to go home and see your family. The plane, Lisa Marie's going to pick you up. And she learned not too long after that, after the first couple times that happened, that the Lisa Marie didn't just come out to pick her up. It brought a chick out for Elvis.
Oh, like dropped her off. Yeah,
there was a new chick for Elvis, and she had to be expelled. So it was like, you got to leave Marie, and it'll take you back to Memphis. And he acted like he was coming to pick her up, but it was actually dropping another chick off.
Oh, wow. Elvis.
I know. Elvis!
What an environmentalist he is. He's saving a plane trip.
Yeah, well, convenient.
So how did she meet Bruce?
She moved out to the West Coast after the Kang and decided she wanted to try and be an actress or, you know, whatever. She had interest in songwriting and in acting. And so she goes out there and she's just sort of living out there, taking acting lessons and stuff. And she just bumps into Bruce somewhere like people meet. Mm-hmm. And she likes him and he's real. Actually, where was the first time they met? Because that was kind of sort of an interesting, you know, it escapes me right now, but. But they talked, and then he ended up calling her a couple times, and he was estranged. No, he was separated from his first wife. So anyway, they go out, and she says, well, what's going on with your wife? Are you going to get, is there any chance to get back together with her? And he says, well, it's about 50-50. She talks about him. She says he's the most honest guy. She totally trusted him. She really liked him. He's a great guy, really low-key, kind of like he's in the television show.
Mm-hmm.
And she can't say one bad word about him. She really likes this guy. And then he says, I'm going to try and save my marriage. So she says, okay, well, you know, good luck. And he goes back with her. He calls her a few months later and says, okay, we're getting divorced. But there's one slight complication. She's pregnant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she ends up birthing this kid right in the middle of their divorce, which is crazy.
Weird.
But anyway, she picks up with him shortly after that, and she ends up being real close with his daughter. So anyway, she and Bruce carry on. They have the two kids, and she sounds to me, I would have to say she sounds probably the happiest she was ever in her life with Bruce Jenner.
Mm-hmm.
She's completely happy. She loves having kids. She loves being a mom. Bruce has got a career. Bruce is a steady guy. He makes good money doing the speaking tour. He does some TV stuff. He did that ridiculous movie with the Village People.
What?
Remember that? Oh, have you ever seen that movie? It's one of the worst. It's one of the campiest movies you could ever see.
I don't know how it could be starring Bruce Jenner in the Village
it's
People.
It's like Can't Stop Dancing or something.
Oh, my God. That sounds awesome.
Oh, God. I wish I could think of the title. Awful. I got to remember the title of this movie. It is so funny bad. I've seen it. But, yeah, Bruce Jenner and the Village People are in this movie. So, anyway, the point is his career is going really well. And then suddenly, you know, after 4 or 5 years, he just says he has to talk to her about Can't Stop the Music. That's it. Can't Stop the Music. It is so bad. Is there a clip of that online, Jay? There you go. There's Bruce. With a crop top.
Wait a minute. I am not taking one more step till I know where I'm going.
Right. Yeah.
I quit my Village job, People.
And you got me walking the beat again. And I'm not even getting paid for
hey,
it.
Hey, hold your horses. I told you I had a surprise for you.
I hope so. I turned in my coin change with the toll booth.
Hey, don't forget I quit my...
Oh, clever.
Well, that sounds terrible.
It's so bad. It's the worst movie. Of course, there's a lot of music in it.
Yeah, you can't stop it.
No, he cannot stop the music. It's not possible, not with Village People around. Anyway, Bruce says he has talked to her once, and he reveals that
he's a woman.
A woman in a man's body. And she's completely just
devastated.
Blindsided. Yeah, and devastated. And she wants to try therapy, and they go into therapy, and she studies up on it. She learns a lot, finds out that this is never going away.
Yeah.
And that... it also is very dangerous if he does not pursue this, that there's a decent chance he'll attempt suicide at some point.
Yeah. Suicide rate's really high.
25%, she says. So she figures this is just, it's over, and she's completely torn apart. And the worst part is that she still loves Bruce, and Bruce is still basically Bruce. He's as nice as he could be, as reasonable, and he's very sad about it. He wants to stay with her.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to pursue the sex change and stay with her as a couple.
Well, he loves her.
No, he does. No, he clearly loves her.
Boy, that's really taking a gamble from his perspective. How hard would that be? Hey, I'm gonna become a woman, but I want to stay with you.
Yeah, we'll be a lesbian couple.
What
How's
are
that?
The odds that the person would be cool with that or understand it even?
Well,
she didn't. She couldn't understand.
No, she couldn't. No, she didn't want to be with
a woman.
A woman.
Yeah.
And she wanted to be with him as a man, and that was that. And so she, when she revealed that, he was, of course, you know, completely torn up. But
didn't he show up to a hotel room dressed as a woman?
I was just getting to that story.
Oh, okay.
He calls her. He's on a trip to New York for business.
Right.
And that's the other weird thing is that he's still doing his Bruce Jenner business, you know, being Bruce Jenner.
Bruce Jenner business.
Yeah. You know, he does his speaking tour.
His commercials.
And all that stuff. And she's trying to think, how in the hell is he going to, you know, how is this going to work? He's also doing some very dangerous things, like he tries cross-dressing, and so he takes a walk through the park where they live as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And he reveals this to her, and she's like, you better be careful. There aren't many 6'2 women around with size 12 shoes. You know, you're kind of crazy. And then a neighbor reveals to her that, I saw Bruce in his Halloween costume.
Huh? But it's May.
What's wrong? Is you gay or something?
But it's May.
It was July.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, well, he just got in the mail. He wanted to try it out.
But he thought it was really funny. Yeah,
a lot different in the mid-80s than it was, two years ago.
Big time. Yeah, so anyway, he's in New York, and he says, why don't you come to New York? Let's have a nice weekend. She thinks, he wants to try, you know, and so she's really excited
to
go out
there.
He wants
to try staying a man and being with her.
Yeah, being this couple.
Mm.
When I arrived at our hotel room in New York after the long flight from Los Angeles, I knocked on the door with hopeful anticipation that my romance and marriage might be rekindled.
A.K.A. she was so wet.
Bruce opens the door dressed as Caitlin, full wig, full makeup, heels, a nice feminine dress adorning his muscular body, and a big smile on his lips. I crumbled right there and burst into tears.
Oh, man.
Bruce apologizes and they have that conversation where he says, no, I cannot be with you as a woman. That does not work for me.
I mean, that sucks for her and him.
Yeah, no, it really
does. I'd love to hear that story from his perspective. Like, I'm so pumped up. She's going to meet Caitlin for the first time.
Oh, I know.
And then to see her crumble in front of him.
What did he think was going to happen?
I guess she just rolled the dice, man. I mean, you know how tormented he was.
Yeah. No, it's, I don't know how he carried on as long as he did.
I know.
And how he ends up with Kardashian, with, what's her name?
Oh, Chris.
Chris.
She just saw the, how she just saw the dollar signs.
But I mean,
he had a size B rack when he was with her, when he first met her. She knew from the beginning.
Yeah, the two kid, Brandon and Brody, went and spent a weekend with Bruce after they had divorced. And they said, Mommy, Daddy has boobs. Yeah. What's going on?
Yep.
And she makes something up. She didn't tell them until shortly before Caitlin emerged. But anyway, Linda Thompson, before they actually split, Bruce is still in the house. And her mother says one day, her mother's literally on her deathbed. She's got 6 months to live, and Linda's taking care of her. Anyway, one day she says, Linda, is Bruce queer? What, Mom? Is Bruce queer? You mean, is he gay? Yeah. Why would you ask me that, Mama? Even though she knows that she actually something, all this other stuff is going on. Well, my door was open, and he left the door to your bedroom open a crack, and I saw him preening and posing in front of the mirror. He just had his underwear on, and he took his genitals, and he tucked them behind so that he was flat in front.
Yeah,
and then he was posing with his genitals tucked behind.
Oh, boy.
And she says, I don't know. He's been working out. Maybe he's just full of himself. Maybe he's just being silly.
The old fruit basket.
And her mother says, I don't think so.
Really? The mom said that? She's on her deathbed?
She saw him, and the door was cracked. She sees him posing with his dick tucked between his legs.
I know, the old fruit basket. Did he turn around and bend over?
I don't know.
So she could see the fruit basket?
He was just testing out his vagina.
Weird.
But yeah, just
tell her to tuck you in bed.
Completely just like, freaked her out.
Just like Buffalo Bill in and Silence of the Lambs.
Yes. Then she finds,
which how can doesn't it kill you when people are still thinking that Bruce Jenner's doing it for money?
Oh God, come on!
The guy
really?
Is so
are you
tormented.
Kidding? Oh, absolutely! No, I would give anything. I would not
for him.
There's nothing in the world that could make me want to be and go through what he's gone through.
No, it's weird, but no.
Although he's probably ecstatic right now.
Oh, well, now, shit, he's living it up now. I love that house he has, too, or she has, or whatever. What does he want me? She wants to be called?
She.
Yeah.
He's gay?
That house is badass.
One night when Bruce had been out of the house for a few months, Linda was organizing their TV room. She came across a VHS tape.
Oh, boy.
And she couldn't identify it, so she says, I was focused completely on my task, which had been absorbed in for several hours. We'd taken lots of videos of the boys when they were young, so I was... When I came across an unlabeled tape, I assumed it was another birthday party. I was prepared to label it, file it, move on. I put it to the VCR, and as the image came into focus on the screen...
What happened?
I gasped, oh, my God. Bruce had set up the video camera in our bedroom while I was out of town doing hee-haw, and he'd filmed himself having a fashion show for the camera.
That's, in a way, it's almost adorable, isn't it?
I know,
it?
It's really cute.
Bruce, you know, trying on Caitlyn. How cute, except that he's, what, how old is he at that point? A 35-year-old man, yeah.
I guess he must have had his own wardrobe hidden somewhere in the house, maybe in the attic or the greenhouse. As I watched, I felt such sadness for him. Then I got angry that he'd left such concrete evidence of his secret around the house where the boys might have found it and required an explanation, but mostly I was just stunned. He was also wearing my silk blouse in one of his get-ups. That
that's why she's really pissed.
That I'd found stretched and smeared.
Oh, man.
He was 35 at the time, and he actually pulled off the cross-dressing convincingly and looked quite pretty, I thought. I never would have been capable of such an impartial assessment of his appearance when I first saw him dressed as a woman in our hotel room in New York City.
Stunning and beautiful.
Oh, man.
Oh, how weird would that be, though, to see your significant other, your spouse?
I know, and
having a
serious
fashion show, yeah.
Look at his tiny nips.
Should we try Andy Dick?
Sure, he's not going to answer.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's no way.
I don't know.
Charlie Sheen was in the news, by the way.
I saw that. What did he do?
Oh, there's some claim that he's moving back home with his parents.
Oh, yeah. That's what the Inquirer's reporting.
Yeah. Some insider told him that.
I don't know if I... Well, you know, he said he was spending a lot of time at his parents' house. Remember when we talked to him?
Yeah.
But I can't see him moving out of his house.
He never said moving in, though.
No, I cannot see him doing that. And we know him so well now.
I don't know. Have you talked to Tony lately?
Tony Todd?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Best friend Tony?
I should send
Tony. You just text him something about baseball.
I want to get Tony on. Seriously, Tony would be a good guest, and not to mention, it'd be good to stay in touch with Tony anyway. But Tony's got plenty to talk about.
What's the most underrated thing that Andy Dick has done besides Division III, do you think? Just thinking about his filmography. I'm looking at it.
Run through his filmography for me.
Well, the very first one's Reality Bites. In the Army Now, which I love In the Army Now.
He's got those funny little roles he has. Like,
he's great in the Army Now with Pauly Shore.
Reality Bites, is he just like a store clerk or something?
Yeah.
Remember he's a clerk at the hotel room or the hotel in that movie with Road Trip?
Oh, yeah. He was in...
funny little role.
He was in The Cable Guy.
What's he doing, Cable Guy?
I don't remember. Funny People? He's in Funny People?
Oh.
Zoolander. Dude, Where's My Car? I just think of course, he's probably best known for what, News Radio?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But I used to love him on The Ben Stiller Show.
Oh, he was a host at Medieval Times.
That's right. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, those were, you know, he had a...
Was he not answering?
It was kind of a long, hard climb.
It rang once, went to voicemail, so he's on his phone or he's bailing on us, but I'll keep trying to...
Blowing
here.
Us off.
Gotta try again. Yep. Not giving up. Did you see the Emmy list?
Of what? Who's nominated?
Yeah. No. I know Game of Thrones had a million nominations again.
Of course.
Oh, these are the winners.
Wait, the winners? Wait.
2016 Emmy Awards take place in 1 week, but the Television Academy got the ball rolling in this year's festivities, the Creative Arts Emmys on Saturday night.
Oh, the Creative Arts one. Yeah, that's all the stuff they don't do on TV.
Oh. You know? Okay, so these are the nothing categories.
Yeah, the technical awards, crap like that.
Well, they do have, you know, for example, Outstanding Guest Actress in a Comedy Series, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, SNL.
That's what won?
Yeah, it's won. I mean, that's a fairly significant award, I guess. Outstanding comedy for casting for a drama series, Game of Thrones. Oh, casting, yeah, it's not a big deal.
When is it? Outstanding. When are the Emmys? It got to be around the corner then, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, if they had the first part.
I love the Emmys. I did see, that's funny, now that you mentioned it, I did see that RuPaul won an Emmy.
Oh, for what?
For the RuPaul show or whatever the hell. What's he do?
I don't know. I don't even know what RuPaul is doing.
The Drag Race show.
Okay.
I don't know what it would be nominated for, but.
Did you know that Emmy I just mentioned was Amy Poehler's first Emmy?
Really?
She's been nominated 17 times.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I love Parks and Rec. That show is underrated.
Fantastic show. So many good characters in that show. Yeah. Everyone in that show is great.
Yep.
I mean, from Rob Lowe to
Jerry.
Everyone.
Larry.
Yeah, they're all good.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, every character in that show is
phenomenal.
Not just good, great.
Mm-hmm.
And very, very funny. Really, that's one of the funniest, most underrated shows, I think, to ever
come better
along.
Than The Office, to tell you the truth.
It really grew on me at the end. I could never quite say I liked it better than The Office because I liked The Office first, I think. But after a while, it was hard for me to deny it was. I could laugh at that show just as hard as I laughed at The Office.
The best character on there was Congressman Jeremy Jam. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yes.
He was such a jerk. He went to, his name's John Glazer. He's from Southfield, actually.
Is he really?
Yeah, he did a lot of stuff on.
I think he was.
Oh boy, I think he's from Southfield. I could be confusing him with somebody. But he did a lot of stuff with Conan. Wrote for Conan for a long, long time.
Are you watching Conan a lot now?
A little bit off and on. I haven't been keeping up with a lot of.
Isn't that strange that he just changes networks?
Yeah, it's a different type of show now, man.
Is the show that different?
Yeah, well, I think it is different than late night. I mean, look at how Letterman changed going from late night to the late show.
But he's on a network where it shouldn't really matter that much, you would think.
No, but then
the time
again,
does matter. The time is everything.
Then again, the host gets older. Different writers come in.
They didn't just move the show lock, stock, and barrel?
No, not really.
They probably couldn't afford to.
Not only that, but if you think about the years when he took off on late night, it's kind of me against the world type thing as opposed to now me choosing to go to TBS. You kind of lose.
Well, having no choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Yeah, then he was an upstart. Now he's a guy battling for
established.
Survival.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it's still. It's not late night. It's still a Conan, a night show, in the same form, the same,
mm-hmm.
basically the same concept. And yet, because it's on this other network, I never watch it anymore. I never watch it.
Yeah, a lot of people, I don't think, go to TBS.
But I like Conan, and I like the show. It was actually, it grew on me more all the time. I always, it was one of those things I would never watch. Then I would watch it occasionally, and then it was like, well, I have to admit, this is a pretty good show. Then I actually, when that whole thing was going on with the fight with Leno.
Oh, phenomenal. And Letterman getting mixed up. Some of the best TV ever.
That was fantastic. And at that point, the show really fully grew on me.
If I'm going to watch a late night show, that's the one I'm going to watch. I can't stand Fallon. I cannot watch The Tonight Show. I just don't like it.
My opinion of him is completely altered. From really liking him and thinking he was a pretty hip, just a real sort of a really funny guy. No matter what he did, I would want to see it. I just really liked him. And now, it's not that I don't like him personally. It's just that it's just to see him churning out shtick like that on such a regular basis, it lowers the quality much.
He's incredibly talented. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. But I just don't want to see celebrities play games. I don't want to see that. I don't know.
And the other thing is also when you see someone who is not of our world, I mean, let's face it, people like us that host shows like that, not stars, not people who are already established stars. It's just weird seeing him try to interview a celebrity mm-hmm. who's of his ilk. It's just strange.
What?
Andy.
Andy.
You're getting blocked.
No.
Sorry.
Andy, no. It's Detroit calling. It's Detroit. You said you could call Monday. What'd he say?
I don't know. Jay, what'd you do? I
called him. Did you say something fucker?
Yeah. Yeah, now he's using his call block. What did the prince call it?
Wait, he's blocking us?
Yeah.
He said we could call Monday.
Jay, you were harassing him too much.
I'm sorry. I'm going to blame Charlie's message, the voicemail he left for Andy.
Oh, he left him a voicemail?
I don't think he listened. I really don't.
No,
think
I know.
He listened to it. He probably just said, why are they calling me again?
Yeah, he was very inviting when I talked to him. He said, I've got nothing to promote. He was real cordial. He said, I just can't talk to you right now. Let's talk Monday.
Hmm. Well,
I don't know.
I don't know. He's so put out. Jesus Christ. And we called him once.
Oh. Maybe he's having a bad day.
It didn't sound like a good day.
Not at all. No. Andy can be a little orny. Orny?
He's never been.
Word?
Has he ever been ornery?
Ornery?
I don't ever recall him being ornery.
No, but he can be to other people. That's John Lovitz.
Well, when he was drinking, he was ornery to a lot of people. And who knows?
Hmm.
Knows what he's doing. Although he sounded really nice. He was friendly to you.
He was.
Maybe he was drinking then, and he's not drinking now.
Fucking blocking us.
Yeah. He's using his, what did the prince
say?
What kind of call block?
GTE call block. I am putting you on my GTE call block so you can never call again. Don't be phony. Don't be phony to your listeners. They will not like you.
Maybe we have to call him on Friday. We got a hold of him on Friday, so.
We have to call him. I'm debating whether to call him right back and find out how blocked we are. What happens when you're blocked?
I would think it would just go to do, do, do.
Should we call him before we're blocked?
I kind of like that logic.
It's our last shot.
How many times did you try him today? Just the twice, Jay?
No, probably about four times here.
Oh, that's
well,
why.
Because it was going right to voicemail. So I thought he might be on the phone.
Oh, you know what? I bet you he was doing like maybe talking to somebody of some importance.
There's nothing to promote.
And it kept beeping over. Well, maybe it was about a job.
That's possible.
Maybe he was talking to Ben Stiller. And then it kept beeping in.
Maybe we were offering him a job. Maybe we were trying to promote him.
Doesn't recognize the area code? The people he promised on Friday?
Should we spin the Rolodex to just try someone new?
Well, we never did get a hold of...
take our focus off Andy Dick.
I'm crushed on it. The Andy Dick thing is a crushing blow.
I got to say, I'm not terribly surprised.
But he said he would call on Monday. He's there. He answered the fucking phone.
Sure.
He said to call
back. Are you really that surprised by it?
I'm surprised he's
blocking
us.
You only put it at 20% that he'd answer.
But I'm surprised he's blocking us. I'm surprised he's acting
Yeah,
like,
but, I mean, four calls in a row, maybe just got maybe that pissed him off because he's trying to do something. Who knows?
He promised he was going to be on today.
Who knows? Yeah, right.
He did.
He clearly didn't write down what number it would be. Well, it sucks.
Well,
don't get me wrong.
There's no point. There's no reason to blame us for it. Was it our fault he didn't write the number down, so therefore didn't recognize the number? Is it our fault that he didn't take it as seriously as we did? Yes, I'll talk to you Monday, to me, is a yes, I'll talk to you Monday.
Well, we'll never know, because we're going to be blocked forever.
You dick!
I'm going to delete the number from my phone.
He's not blocked us yet. The question is, would you think he was on the phone when he just clicked over? Do you think he just clicked over to us?
I don't think so. Not on that one.
I think we should call him back.
You really don't think so?
No.
I just want to leave him a message, if nothing else. Yeah, go ahead. Call quick before we're blocked.
Oh, man.
Well, he's already pissed.
I like your gumption, sir, but I'm not advocating this.
Why? What? We'll be blocked.
I know.
It's over for life.
I guess we have nothing to lose.
I mean, once we're in block land, we're done.
Unless he was just threatening blocking us. Oh, boy.
Oh. Andy? It's Detroit.
Thank you for calling. This is Andy.
Oh,
please,
we're not blocked.
Please leave a message with your phone number and your name, and I'll get back to you.
I'll let you recover this.
I hope you have a great day. Bye, buddy.
We would.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Andy, it's Detroit calling. I'm sorry we've been leaving you messages and stuff, but you talked to Jay on Friday and you said to call today. So we've been promoting it and we're excited as hell to talk to you, man. We're huge fans. Huge fans. Mark, are we big fans of Andy Dick or what?
Massive. Massive. Especially Division III.
We had you on our last show, three or four times?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm sorry if we're bugging you. It's just that, you know, when you said you talked to us today, we were naturally promoting it, excited about it, and I'm just really bummed. Now we're going to end up in blocked land.
At the very least, don't block us, because that just hurts.
I mean, we won't call back for a while. I mean, if you're really that pissed. But don't block us, and we're fucking history.
I just don't like the idea of being blocked.
Well,
in general, it seems awfully harsh.
Andy, that's a pretty harsh punishment, considering we thought we were going to talk to you today.
I just picture him standing at the phone like Dikembe Mutombo, just waving the finger.
You've got our number, and I'm sure you're not going to call back or anything, but there's no need to block us. We thought we had an interview today, and if you think back to Friday, you did talk to somebody here in Detroit, Jay, and you said you talked today, and we were pumped to do it. We've been, if you got our messages before, you know how excited we were to talk to you. You know we're fans, for real. So anyway, probably won't listen to this, but whatever.
See ya.
Thanks, Andy.
Bye-bye.
It's not pathetic enough to avoid being blocked.
We are so blocked. No way he makes it through that message.
I don't think he'll listen to it anyway.
Yeah. Although, there was space to leave the message, so.
Yeah, but all we got to do is patch one of our cell phones into the board. We'll call him from one of those.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, there you go. We're not done.
He's going to end up blocking the whole 248 area code.
Until he changes his phone number. There's still life.
That's funny.
Oh, boy. All right. So, now I'm trying to collect myself.
We never did get a hold of Roland Winkler.
Roland Winkler, right. A slight come down from Andy Dick.
Yeah, well.
Rolo.
Well, let's just spin it. And let's spin. I'm going back to my Rolodex. We'll see what pops up for S and G's.
Anything's got to be better than we've got a hold of Ebb.
Ebb from Green Acres.
Someone just yell stop and we'll see what pops up.
Stop.
Dick Van Patten.
Dick Van Patten, he died.
Yeah, he said 86 is enough.
Let's see if his voicemail's still there.
My best joke ever. Someone actually emailed the other day and said they missed me telling that joke every day. Remember that? Jay, did you ever hear that joke?
I did. That was awesome.
Dick Van Patten died. I guess he said 86 is enough.
Hello.
I never realized he even had his number.
Yeah, I don't remember even talking to him. Did we ever talk to him?
Whoever has his number is so getting the joke.
Yeah, let's call him.
Hey, did you know you had Dick Van Patten's number?
What if it's his voicemail still? That'd be exciting.
And especially if he goes, 86 is enough. He's forecasting his own death.
Can you flip to 30?
Sure. If you tell me how the Steelers scored.
Oh, who cares?
I do. Fantasy football.
First game.
I got Roethlisberger.
What, they don't print stats after the game?
I need to know now.
Did they stop printing stats?
I need to know now. Dozier went deep for the Twins, by the way. That's why it's 1-1.
Ah, God, these second baseman home runs this year is unbelievable.
Yeah, but they got a threat going on right here. Man, if they don't sweep the Twins.
Hi, this is Dick and Pat. We're not here, and neither is that.
We were, I think we got a wrong number. That sounded like,
wow.
Did that sound like Dick Van Patten?
Yeah, that's, I don't know.
You ain't dead.
Later.
That could not have been Dick Van Patten, is it? Bob, are you there? You don't have Dick Van Patten doing a phone message for you, do you? That's bizarre. Bob, you played a joke on me?
So 86 is enough.
What's going on? Anyway, look, call me back. This is really weird. I thought I dialed your number correctly, and then I thought I heard Dick Van Patten's voice. And I know I'm one of the most famous voiceover guys forever. What do you do, Jiffy Lube and all kinds of stuff. I could have sworn I heard Dick Van Patten doing a voicemail there. Anyway, thanks, Bob. Give me a try back.
Bye-bye.
What?
What?
What the hell?
Still Van Patten's number. It's been over a year since he passed.
Someone's paying his phone bill. He must be paying...
Well, apparently Pat. Right?
Pat's getting hit for like $30 a month for Dick's line.
Well, or she's just using it but leaving his number on it.
That's
his message.
It's ludicrous.
Oh, man. Maybe she doesn't know how to change... Dick's the only one who knew how to do the outgoing message.
We're definitely on to a Dick Van Patten voicemail, dead voicemail watch.
Wow. He's married or was married. He's been dead, Drew. He's been dead for 13 months now.
Wow.
14 months.
Jesus. That was weird.
Who's his wife?
Pat. Pat Van Patten.
Pat Van Patten.
I never understood why he was a star ever. I never got what. How did that guy? What did he do before Eight Is Enough? And how did? I mean,
most
guys who got shows like that did not look like Dick Van Patten.
No, he was great in Spaceballs. Remember him in Spaceballs?
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
It's about the only other thing. It's about the only other thing I can think of him being in, other than Eight Is Enough.
I can't think of anything other than commercials.
Like Willie Ames. I can name more things Willie Ames has been in.
Did we talk to Willie Ames?
Oh, years ago.
That's right, yeah.
Let's see if I have his number.
Yeah, why not? Let's call Willie.
We'll tell Willie.
Maybe Willie knows why they kept Dick's voicemail.
Willie Ames.
Willie, have you called Dick's phone lately?
Oh, I don't have his number anymore.
Oh!
Must have deleted it at some point.
Oh, what about the weird sister that flipped out and was having... Remember the sister?
Oh, yeah. The show? Yeah, we definitely talked to
her. What's her name? Richardson, I think is her name?
Yeah, Susan?
Susan Richardson. Richardson. Yeah. She completely flipped. She was declaring there were UFOs in her backyard by her trailer.
Susan Rich, I think this is her.
Didn't she have a... didn't she live in a trailer? Yeah. I'm pretty sure she did. Let's call her.
Wow. This number is probably 16 years old. Susan Rich.
Yeah, she gave us a real flippy interview, too.
Under the description of my Rolodex, it actually says, Eight is enough! Wow, I can't believe I have the whole cast of Eight is Enough on my Rolodex.
I know, that's really weird. Do you have Nicholas's number? What's the kid's name? What was the little brat?
The bratty, yeah. Oh, boy.
He used to throw himself down the stairs to separate his shoulder so he could get pain pills.
Van Patten was a terrible TV dad because all those kids had problems. Ames and Susan.
But he attended to their problems outside the show, too. He tried to help them.
He did.
If I remember correctly. I think Willie declared that Dick was crucial to his recovery.
God, he was in a bunch of stuff before Eight is Enough.
Betty Buckley was hot. His TV wife? She was way too hot for him.
Oh, boy. Adam Rich.
Adam Rich, that's right.
Hi. Please leave a message. I'll get back to you as soon as I can, and have a blessed day.
Cool. Hey, Susan, is that you? It's Drew and Mark calling. We were working on sort of an Eight is Enough reunion thing. And I wonder if you're interested in making a few bucks. We'll try it back. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right. I just came across this number. I just want to call this person.
She's going to call back.
This person.
Bucks? Bucks? Did somebody say bucks? Isn't that reunion?
I just saw this name in the R's and want to call him.
Who?
John Rocker.
John Rocker? Oh, my God.
I want to rock.
This is the worst song ever used for a walk-up song.
Ever! Remember he was in Survivor, on the show Survivor?
Oh, yeah.
This is how you pose it, Drew. Ask him about Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Because remember, his views,
which
were quite racist, about the 7 train.
Yeah, no, he'll be pumped. He might be pumped to answer that. What the hell is Rocker doing now, I wonder?
Let's look it up.
I think he's got the same hairstyle, I believe. As if we would find out on the phone.
I so hope he answers.
I'll be pumped just to hear him on a voicemail.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Oh, no! Don't.
Available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
I want to rock.
Rock.
Hey, John. It's Drew and Mark calling from our program, and we were hoping to get your opinion on the Colin Kaepernick thing.
Yeah.
You've always been a really opinionated guy.
Plus, we wanted to talk some baseball, getting down to the end of the year here with our Tigers.
Yeah, here in Detroit. So, for sure.
Maybe you can be the person to answer what is wrong with the Detroit Tigers bullpen.
John Rocker, please give us a try back. Jay, you want to give him the number?
Bye-bye.
I want to rock. Rock.
I want to rock.
Boom. You just see him running out like this.
Yes. You got that look of, I've lifted too many weights. I can't really stretch my arms out anymore.
I want to rock. Here's his actual quotes from that SI article.
I remember it was about taking the train, wasn't it?
Yeah, if you'd ever play for the Yankees or the Mets, I'd retire first. It's the most hectic, nerve-wracking city. Imagine having to take the 7 train to the ballpark, looking like you're riding through Beirut next to some kid with purple hair, next to some queer with AIDS, right next to some dude who got out of jail for the 4th time. Right next to some 20-year-old mom with 4 kids.
Ah.
It's depressing. The biggest thing I don't like about New York are the foreigners. You can't walk an entire block in Times Square and not hear somebody speaking English.
Rock, rock.
Asians and Koreans and Vietnamese and Indians and Russians and Spanish people and everything up here. How the hell did they get into this country? Oh, man. Johnny.
I think he's in the basket of deplorables.
Johnny.
Oh, John Rocker, welcome to the basket of deplorables.
He's carrying that basket. He's strong enough to carry it. Wow. Called. Remember Randall Simon?
Oh, the Tigers?
Yeah.
Tigers player?
Randall Simon, best known for playing for the Tigers around here.
And swinging the bat and hitting the...
sausage racer.
Yes, the sausage racer.
And for John Rocker calling him a fat monkey.
Oh, wow. Spin the Rolodex again. One more time.
He was. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, one more time.
He was young.
We got to call Hink Dog.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
He's the shooter of the president.
Mom, he's probably already wearing mom out.
First weekend of total freedom.
Did you think she tucked him in last night? Made him into a burrito? All right, someone holler stop.
I'm dying to talk to Hink Dog.
Stop.
He's got to be answering the phone now, yeah. What is it?
Sean Kniff.
Sean Kniff? Is that a star?
That's Dr. Sean from Survivor.
No! Dr. Sean from Survivor?
Yes, we're not calling
him.
What
a loser.
We're not calling him.
Okay, I'm going to run upstairs really fast. Jay, you tell him to stop.
Sean Kniff. We used to call him a lot. He is actually a fairly good interview. All right. I'm spinning it, Jay, so you holler. I feel like we're never going to get to the A's or the N's.
Stop.
Stop. Soy bomb.
Who?
Soy bomb.
Soy bomb, really?
Yes.
You think he's still at that number?
I think somebody has this number because the option of FaceTiming it has popped up, so it's now an iPhone number. Do we try it?
We could say that...
That's so stupid.
Yeah, we're doing our Today in History feature, and it's been 19 years since Soy Bomb appeared on the Grammys, which is a total lie. Would he even remember or think about it?
Grammys in the fall.
You just say we're talking about soy. We're a great, great... Wait, great!
That is so
great. Award show moments.
And,
you've been voted number one.
Remember how confused Dylan was?
Oh yeah, Soy Bomb. If you don't know what we're talking about, is the guy who started wildly dancing during Bob Dylan's Grammy performance.
Uh huh.
And he had written Soy Bomb in giant magic marker on his chest, and he danced like a complete idiot. And no one knew how the hell he got out there, and a lot of people didn't even know that he wasn't supposed to be out there.
No. 1998.
That was fucking hilarious. Didn't we talk to him?
Oh, well, we must have. I don't know why else I would have.
Oh, yeah, we did. We did. We absolutely did. Shortly after it happened. For some reason, I connect Soy Bomb to Luke Sissy Fag.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like they were around the same time.
1998 Grammys, Portnoy was hired by Dylan's production company to stand in the background with other dancers and groove to the music to give Bob a good vibe. Instead, halfway through the performance, he ripped off his shirt, ran next to Dylan, and started dancing. He tore it spastically with the toured bomb.
Spastically.
Soy bomb written across his chest. His real name is Michael Portnoy.
Oh, that's you.
Your
spoiled
call
it.
Has
Sorry.
Been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Oh, those numbers kept getting through there.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, is this Soy Bomb? Soy Bomb! We're talking about great moments in award show history on our program here in Detroit, our podcast. And you were actually voted one of the top moments of all time, so we're hoping to get a few minutes with you and see if you're soy bombing around at all anymore. What are you doing, man? It's been 18 years since you soy bombed. Isn't it time for you to make a new appearance? Anyway, if you want to be on our show, feel free to call us back. I'm sure the number's on the caller ID there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks, Soy Bomb, or Michael. See ya.
Bye-bye.
We should call Hink Dog.
Yes.
For sure.
How hilarious, Soy Bomb.
I know. Who could forget? If you saw it, you'd never forget it.
I remember thinking, well, like you said.
Oh, there
it
is.
Part of
yeah,
it.
Here's the incident. Jay brought it
up. You're a Dylan fan. Do you even know what song this is?
It's from Time Out of Mind, which was a great album. It's kind of Dylan's comeback album. He's so close to Bob, too. Dangerously close. Bob backs off, and here come the pros. Bob's very curious. He's watching. I'm not sure this jam was scheduled. I saw the background. People are laughing. A lot of them.
Awesome. Oh, that's awesome. That's great.
That's a nice little band he's got there. They sound pretty good. Soy Bomb!
That's really funny. It's the last time he thought of Soy Bomb.
He's dancing really spastically, and he's so close to Bob that you're thinking his arm may just swing and whack Bob in the face. I mean, it's like really dangerous.
Dylan played it pretty cool, though, man.
He did. No, Dylan, you almost saw it. I remember thinking that, well, that's a pretty cool part of the act, having this nut out there dancing like a spaz, and the dancing is so stupid. That is ridiculous. But Bob keeps singing, man. He's pretty cool. Although there he freaked him out. He just went a little too spaz. Oh, Bob really very cautiously sidled back up to the microphone to do the next verse there. Oh, that's funny. God. And then, there goes Soy Bomb. He's leaving the stage for some reason. It's crazy.
The Grammys chose not to press charges against him for the act, but he was not paid the $200 gig, the fee for the gig.
Wow, all those people got $200?
Yeah.
Are you surprised that the Hinkleys have not figured out that they should not answer this phone?
Oh, I just think Mama Hink Dog just picks up the phone whenever.
We call just infrequently enough, I think.
We should have called late last night. Here, one of John's pals getting ready to party now that he's home.
I mean, it's a perfect time to call. You know, just call and find out how his first weekend of freedom went. And
see how we're
big fans of John.
See how his job's going? Remember he's cutting the grass at that church?
Oh, that's right. Oh, you know he's doing a shit job of that.
Oh, Christ. Yeah, he probably...
There's whole rows that aren't cut.
Well, he probably, I'm assuming he has a tractor, just drives the tractor behind the church. And just parks it and just wanders off. just to go to a bookstore to read about
Jody.
Presidential assassins. Yeah. And the reverend comes out and wonders, why is the lawnmower sitting back here by itself?
What's going on? The engine's not even hot. It doesn't appear that the lawn's been mowed.
Hello, we are not available now. Please leave your name and phone number after the beep. We will return your call.
Hey, John, just calling to say hi and see how you're doing. I'll call you back a little later. See you. We'll just act right.
Bye-bye.
John, there's some guy on the answering machine.
John, one of your friends called.
Mom! I don't even know who that is.
Why are you screening my messages, Mom?
Get out of my room. Slam the door.
Are you sure it wasn't Jody?
I picture him trying to sneak out of his room, too.
Oh, yeah.
Just getting tangled in the blinds.
You know, he went for the ground floor room so he could just weasel out the window.
He still has an entirely tough time doing it. Just this whole rattle of blinds as his foot gets caught in between two of them.
John's never been terribly limber for those expeditions outside the house.
Oh, man.
When Mrs. Ink Dog goes in his bedroom and he's got like pillows in the bed, you know, to make it look like there's a body in there. And then she can't find him and she discovers it and she's freaking out. And then John sneaks in the back door, like the kitchen later on. And he goes, Mom, I was in the kitchen all night. What are you talking about?
Get off my bed,
Mom. I didn't go to bed yet. I'm 61 years old.
The Secret Service is enough on me. Get away.
Yeah. Bad enough having Secret Service without you climbing up my ass. Jeez, Mom. Oh, this guy shot the president. I only shot him once.
Just picture him slamming doors. Cabinet doors. Bathroom.
He's such
doors.
An animated guy.
Yeah, right. Oh, just pissing all over the toilet seat.
I wonder if Mrs. Hinckley has set up some, like, family photo, you know, since John's out now.
At Olin Mills.
Yes. Get John dressed up in a sweater with a tie underneath.
Of course, everyone's sitting in the car waiting for John to get out of the goddamn house.
John, couldn't you smile for the photo? I was smiling. That's as much as I smile, Mom. God. You don't look like an asshole.
That picture of him in the back of the car. Cop car. That is the biggest. The only caption for that photo is, nobody's home.
No. Brooding is my look, Mom. No, God.
No one has been home in that head for a long time. Mom. No, man.
He is a brooder.
Oh, all right.
I wonder what he did do all weekend. Seriously. You suppose he's looking for another job? Because, come on, mowing the lawn at the church, it's not a fucking job.
No, I'm sure he's playing video. He played video games all weekend. Stayed up way too late. Hey, you know, one of his restrictions, by the way, you know, the government puts all these restrictions on him.
Yeah.
One is pornography.
What?
Why?
Mom!
No, but in all seriousness, why is he not allowed to watch pornography?
Well, I'd rather have him home beating off than out, you know, looking for Jody or
looking for someone to impress.
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously, though, why can't Hinckley look at porn? Are they afraid that's going to get him, like, raging or something?
Maybe they just figure that the less animated John Hinckley is the best John Hinckley. the more he gets into anything, the more trouble he can get into.
I guess now I assume he can't drink. Is he allowed to drink alcohol?
I didn't see anything about drinking alcohol.
So he could just be sitting at home getting hammered.
True. Or he could go to the bar and just sit at the bar by himself.
Oh,
he has no friends.
Load.
You know he has no friends.
Can you imagine if John Hinckley Jr. gets in a bar fight?
He would get his ass handed to him.
Yeah. I just thought that was weird. It was like thrown in there, like no pornography, which
I don't remember seeing it. That's bizarre.
Yeah. Well, he's not allowed to be on the internet. No social media. He can be on the internet. No social media, though.
Oh, he can't be on the internet. That's ridiculous.
He's not supposed to Google himself.
What?
Yeah.
Are you joking?
I'm not joking. That was one of the restrictions on
Hank
Dog.
Why could he not Google himself? What trouble can he get into Googling himself?
Maybe.
Oh yeah, Jody. I love Jody.
Maybe they're
afraid. Forgot about her.
He'll get off on how infamous he is. I suppose. I don't know.
That's so weird. Who came up with this stuff? If he can't Google himself, he is not cured. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If you can't fucking Google yourself, you are not better.
If you can't responsibly look at porn, you're not better.
Oh, he's a fucking mess.
Ugh. Joke. I just thought that was weird. He should be able to look at porn.
Yeah, I think it might calm him down. I don't know. He just shouldn't be out. It's just ridiculous. I don't know. What the fuck?
Not
what
guilty. He's not guilty.
Yeah. Well, Squeaky Fromm was guilty, and she's out. How can any of those people ever be out? I mean, that just blows my mind. How fucked up is our justice system? I mean, seriously, it is so based on money.
Mm-hmm.
If you can shoot the president and get out at 61.
Weren't there a lot of people in the early 80s, though, using the insanity defense?
I mean, oh, yeah.
Wasn't that a popular early 80s thing?
No, people tried it all the time. But you had to have gobs of money to get the right doctors up there to testify out the ass about how nuts you were.
Yeah.
And the Hinckley family was loaded. I'm sure they still are.
Maybe they should take one look at him and go, that guy's not going to cause any trouble.
Did you find out if he's been to Subway?
Load.
We'll call Neil back.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, yeah.
Like maybe studied up on John now that we hipped him to who John Hinckley is.
Neil, the most informative fast food employee we've ever talked to.
He was loaded. I mean, he was overloaded with curiosity.
Yeah. He was making fun of Hink Dog, too, not even knowing who he is. Right, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a little bit, yeah, definitely. But he really didn't know that he shot Reagan.
Yeah, but, a lot of people don't remember that.
I know, I'm stunned at how many people don't know that.
Well, think about how long ago that was. I mean, 35 years.
When you think about that, though, he could probably get a lot of jobs just because people don't know who the fuck he is. I mean, he's such a presentable guy.
Thank you for calling Subway. This is Nelson. How can I help you?
Wait, is Neil there?
Yes.
All right, cool. Can we talk to Neil?
Do you want to talk to him?
Yeah, could we please?
Unless he's putting together a masterpiece.
Okay, just 1 second.
Thanks.
Nelson sounded kind of cool, too.
Yeah.
Subway, Neil speaking. How can I help you?
Hey, Neil, it's Drew and Mark calling on the podcast in Detroit. We talked to you about John Hinckley a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yes, sir.
You remember?
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, cool. Has Hink Dog been in the subway lately?
No, I haven't seen him at all. A coworker has, but...
Oh, really?
Who saw him?
The guy you were just talking to.
Oh, really? Where
do you want to have
Yeah, can we talk to him?
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
Hey, do you want to talk to you? Because you made yourself with John Hinckley that one day since they called. Well, they want to talk to John Hinckley. And you made call.
Hello?
Nelson!
Yes?
Hey, so you saw John Hinckley?
Yeah, apparently I did.
Where'd you see him?
Probably 2 weeks ago, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Did you make his sandwich?
Yeah, I did. I didn't really, I recognized his face from the other day since we received a call that, he was here. So we looked him up online, and then I recognized his face when he came over.
Oh, you were you like, oh, that real slow guy?
Yeah, he was really slow. When I asked him what vegetables he wanted, he took his time to answer.
Really? Did he scoff like, I don't eat vegetables?
No, not really.
What did he order? Do you remember what he ordered?
No, I don't remember.
Hmm. But you remember
that when he came slow? When he came in though, you had no idea that he's the guy that shot the president.
Yeah, no. The first time he came, I had no idea until someone told us the other day.
Right.
But now the second time he came, I recognized him.
Well, see, so he's kind of a regular now.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in the last 2 weeks because I've been in school, so I usually just work at the closing. But, yeah, I think he might come in the morning or in the afternoon.
So do you know much about him? I mean, I'm sure you read up on him now, though, right?
Yeah.
Now, you know why he shot President Reagan, correct?
No clue.
He was trying to impress Jodie Foster, the actress, who was a lesbian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, uh-huh. So he didn't know she was a lesbian, but that's kind of the irony of it. He was trying to get her, but she's a lesbian.
Everybody else knew. Everybody but John. And he was obsessed with the movie Taxi Driver, too. Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
So next time he comes in, Nelson, ask him if he's seen any good movies lately.
Oh.
See what he says.
Yeah, that way we can get a tip off as to whether he's still whacked out or if he's the new improved John Hinckley.
Yeah, pay attention to the eyes if they glaze over.
If he Googled
himself.
Yeah,
he always wears that like grayish hat, I think.
Oh, he does? Really? Yeah, he's keeping a low profile.
Yeah, the hat he wore when they took a picture of him, I think he wore that again the other day.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Would you describe him as a load?
not sure.
Did he just shuffle or did he walk?
I think he just walked, but like it was kind of slowish.
Kind of slowish.
Shuffled. He's a shuffler. I'm telling you, this guy, yeah. He's a first class load. I mean, if you don't know it now, you'll figure it out. He's a total load.
Did he tip you?
No, I don't think he did.
Oh, and he's definitely a load.
Was he? Did he appear? Did it appear that he'd driven himself, or was he waiting for his mom? Because it sounded like his mom dropped him off there.
Yeah, I don't really see, but apparently last time his mom dropped him off.
Next time he comes, go, hey, is that your mom waiting for you? And see if those eyes change again. Come on, poke the bear a little bit, Nelson.
Yeah, get some spark in those eyes. Get some spark in those dead eyes.
I'm not sure I want to die.
he never killed anybody.
He's got a pretty
Not right away. I mean, it took years.
Yeah, it did take a long time.
Yeah.
Well, Nelson, appreciate the time, buddy, and you hang in there at Subway. Maybe we'll call you back sometime, see if you've seen Hank Dog again. All right, buddy. Thanks for the
all
time.
All right, thank you.
We'll see you, Nelson.
tell Neil we say goodbye.
See ya.
All right.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye. That is the coolest Subway on the face of the earth.
The Subway crew there is awesome.
They're the best.
I mean, they both sound perfect to work at Subway.
Don't they sound like they're best friends, too?
Yeah, they couldn't be cut out better.
They're so truthful.
Oh, brother.
Next thing you know, they're going to be hanging out at Johnny's house playing video games.
Oh, God. Can you imagine?
Neil Nelson.
You'd have to go just to see what happened.
Neil
just
Nelson
to see what
and John Hinckley Jr.
Mrs. Hink Dog bringing him lemonade.
Thanks, Mom. No, get out!
Mom! You're my friends. They don't want to meet you.
There's a kill screen coming up. Get out, Mom!
But I've got some lemonade and chips, John.
You're trying to spy on us, Mom! I'm not that stupid! How old do you think I am? Lemonade. I'm not 19 anymore, Mom! Just picturing Nelson and Neil pushing the car with the engine off while John's trying to escape out that first floor window with his foot all tied up in the blinds.
Does he have a curfew?
You mean from the government or from Mom?
We know he's one from Mom, but...
I don't think the government has given him a curfew. Of course, he can't travel more than 30 miles, right?
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah. He's not allowed to. Is he allowed? No, he's allowed to drive. Mom has to be in the car or something, correct?
God, I don't know. I can't remember. There's some driving restriction. Did you hear about the serial rapist they hauled in today in Dearborn?
No.
35 crimes this guy is involved in.
Oh, God.
He's been raping, assaulting women since, 2011 that they know of.
35 in 5 years?
Cases of some renown. I don't think they're all rapes, but it sounds like there are a bunch of sexual assaults in there. But
how'd they catch him?
Somebody saw a prowler in their backyard, and they had video. They had surveillance.
Oh, good.
Video, and they got the video, and I think somebody identified the guy, and they hauled him in, and they took his DNA, and they've been looking for this DNA for a long time because they knew they had a serial rapist.
Oh, wow.
Because they had that DNA, but they didn't have his DNA.
Oh, wow. So they had DNA that matched a bunch of crimes.
Yeah. This creates all sorts of constitutional nightmares, but couldn't they take your DNA when you're born and just have everyone's DNA on record?
No.
Why?
I don't want the government with my DNA.
Well, why not? Think of all the shit they could solve. Think of all the fucking weasels they could get off the streets.
I don't see why the government needs my DNA.
Well, if you don't commit any crimes, you won't have a problem.
Oh, until they frame you like they framed the Jewish. They had his DNA.
They're not going to frame you. Why are they going to frame you?
I don't know. Why do they need my DNA if I'm not doing anything bad?
Because when you're a baby, you're a potential crime committer.
Yeah, but I'm also innocent until proven guilty.
Well, then your DNA won't be coming in any cases.
Well, they don't need it then.
Yeah, they need it in case you go wacko.
Sounds like an expensive government bureaucracy.
How do they know that the police and the DA didn't make all this evidence up to make him act the way that he's acting?
That's right.
Exactly.
That's a great point.
I don't like it that Charlotte's already on the grid. She already has a social security number.
She got a social security number.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm.
How did she do that? Well, she got a job?
Yep. She's the only one in the family with a job.
What kind of gig did she land?
You know what? I can't remember why she needed one, but she needed one. They make that. There's no way to be off the grid 100% anymore. It's just impossible.
Well, why do you need Charlotte to be off the grid so bad?
I don't know. What if she decides when she's older she wants to live off the grid? Now she's already on it.
What kind of a weirdo kid are you attempting to have?
I'm just kidding. But don't you think it's weird a two-year-old has a social security number?
I think it's pretty
weird. When they have no income?
Totally.
It's basically an identification number, which is kind of weird.
They're spying on your child.
I know. Next thing you know, they're going to collect your DNA.
They're trying to get to you through Charlotte. This is bullshit.
Collecting metadata on her. It's ridiculous.
It's pretty crazy. I'm trying to think of my notes. Anything else you want to get into today? Let's see.
You'll be glad to know the NCAA has moved a couple championship events out of North Carolina.
Oh, great. Well, when are they moving them out of? There's two or three other states that are having major issues with.
Are they going to pass the law?
No, they're not. They haven't passed the law. Michigan hasn't even passed the law.
Well, no, but North Carolina has passed that law.
Oh, passed a law. Well, but it's
be too law.
Same difference if they're rejecting the concept, though. If there are people fighting the concept, it's only a matter of time.
Don't pass the law.
It's not that simple. There's a
well, as a basketball fan, though, just be glad to know that there won't be first and second round games in for Duke or North Carolina to be nearby.
Well, that's nice to just fuck over people that have nothing to do with it over an LBGT law. Q. They're not going to have states they can play anything in eventually because there's so many states that are having problems with this.
Well, they'll just be playing in New York and California.
Yeah, I guess we'll just have a three-state entertainment program.
Mm-hmm.
If you can travel to New York or California, then you can go watch sports and rock concerts.
Yep.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
I know that I couldn't believe this was actually taking place. This morning on GMA, they were talking about the guy. Remember the guy that left his baby in the car and killed the baby, and they said that he actually planned it?
The one in is this the one in Georgia?
Yeah, I think it's in Atlanta.
Is he the one that was texting the chick that morning?
Yeah, he was hitting on the other chick.
Yeah, he's a total load.
Total load.
Yeah, I know this story well.
Yeah. Anyway, that case is just getting to trial.
It is?
Yeah. It doesn't seem like that was years ago. Yeah,
this is the guy that just didn't want to be a dad, right?
I guess so. I don't know. Yeah. That story so freaked me out. I could not believe it. I was like, no, that can't be. There's no way that guy did. Really? I mean, it really blew my mind. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but it just seemed.
He's the one that didn't cry, right? When they.
Right. Yeah, he was really cold. And that was the first tip that something was wrong.
Yeah, if your kid had been overheated in a car.
And yeah, and he didn't know the kid was in the car, supposedly.
The other day, Julie was vacuuming out her car, and Charlotte likes to climb around the car and play in the car, you know. So she climbs in the back. It's a Ford Edge, so it's got the little lift thing, and she has me climb in the back with her. So we're sitting in the back of the Edge, and the door shuts. And next thing you know, I'm like sweating profusely, and all I could think of is, oh, so this is how kids die in hot cars. It was hot as shit. It was like 5 minutes. I'm like, great, Charlotte's going to die with me in the back seat with her.
No, you're going to die first. She's going to cry enough to be saved.
Oh, but man, I was sweating my balls off. The worst parent trying to kill their kid story, and I meant to bring this up, I think, 2 weeks ago. Did you see the guy that just didn't want to be a dad, so he got in the car crash?
No.
Tried to kill his kid, put the kid in a car seat,
what?
But didn't buckle it and got in this nasty car crash, but didn't kill the kid, thankfully.
Ugh.
But witnesses come rushing to the car. This is awful, by the way. They come rushing to the car, and they see the dad elbow the kid in the head.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because he was trying. He just didn't want to be a dad, which it's fine. You don't want to be a dad? Then give the fucking kid up and get the hell out of his life. He'll try to kill it.
That's disgusting.
No, it was like the worst story I've read this year.
Well, this guy, you know, even though he was hitting on a chick at work that day, which was like, how could you, if you actually planned that, that's what kind of, I guess, got me was.
It's a sociopath.
If you really wanted to leave your kid in a steaming hot car and kill your kid, could you go into work and hit on other chicks all day? You wouldn't even think about, God, can I really do this? I mean, can I really stand to take my kid out this way? No, he's just having a wonderful day hitting on chicks. I mean, while he knows he's going to be dealing with... Do these people that do shit like this, do they realize what's going to happen when the cops come and they go, your fucking kid is dead?
Imagine they've...
How in the fuck did this happen? You don't realize the ordeal you're in for?
I imagine they've already resigned themselves to that. Like, this is a go. We're doing it. So
they can't have gone... They could not have mentally taken themselves through that whole thing. I just cannot believe that.
Well, think about people that commit suicide, though, once they make the decision and how... They treat the last day as totally normal or the last week is totally normal once they make the decision. So maybe you make the decision you're going to do that and you just live your life the way you want to live it because you're that selfish and that nuts.
There was a 48 Hours that I think it might have been last week, but I just watched it this week. It's the guy in Seattle who had been collecting all this stuff online about, like, thrill kills and how to kill someone, and he had all this target practice. He had all these videos of him shooting his gun and driving his car through all these incredible maneuvers. I mean, this guy was a real twisted fuck. He was like 28 years old. Anyway, he wanted to thrill kill someone. He just wanted to know what it feel like to kill someone, and he had a lot of stuff he had downloaded that was about that very subject, which is amazing. He would have that on your computer when you were going to do something. So he's in traffic one day, and he's in his BMW, his gray BMW convertible, and he's next to this guy who was a very normal guy. Actually, not very normal. He's very beloved. He was a super nice guy. And he just shoots him through the glass of his passenger seat window. Shoots him five times, hits him four times in the head, kills him, and then just tears ass through traffic. Like, cuts off the oncoming traffic to, like, turn left in front of it, I think. And just tears ass.
Oh, how inconspicuous.
Yeah, middle of the day, a broad daylight. So, of course, this is such a huge story out there. They just start pulling over any gray BMW they see in Seattle. Yeah, any gray BMW. Start pulling them over. They're doing all this work, and they're asking for tips. And the story is gigantic. Well, about 2 weeks after this happens, they're nowhere on it. And they're like, "What? Where is this fucking gray BMW? Who is this? Somebody from out of state? You know, what's going on?" And they get a call from someone who says, "Yeah, I know someone who has a gray BMW, and it's been sitting in his garage for a while." And they go to this guy's house, and they stake it out for a few days. And finally, one day, the garage door comes up, and they see the car in the garage. Mm-hmm. So they get a search warrant, they get the car, and they find out that this guy and his wife had been to Portland 2 weeks earlier, and they had purchased a window. He was an engineer. Mm-hmm. They had bought a window for a BMW. They claimed that, "Oh, someone broke our BMW. Oh, we're here, you know, just having a nice time today, and you know, we need to buy the window, and I'm going to install it." And I think that's the way it went, because I think he installed it himself.
Ridiculous plan.
I know. It's so ridiculous. Then he bought this this paint, and because they talked about his gray rims on the BMW, he spray-painted his rims black.
I'm sure that looked great.
It actually looked like they were meant to be black. I mean, I think he took them off the car and did it and everything. Anyway, so they, you know, they're asking him all these questions, and he's like, "You know, how long is this going to be? Like, I'm going to be at work." He's acting like he's really put out by this.
Yeah.
They're like, "I think you're going to be here a while, you know." And he's just, you know, they're leaving him alone. They show the camera. He's just walking around like, "What am I doing here? How dare they bring me in? How dumb." And meanwhile, they're interviewing his wife, and they're like, "Yeah, you know, you heard about the guy that was shot. It was two blocks from their house, by the way."
Oh my God!
Or ten blocks. Good ten luck. Blocks, but really close to their house.
This is the worst plan.
And they're like, "You knew that this person, we've been on the lookout for this car for the last 2 weeks. You knew that, right?" And she's like, "I'm not sure." Her answer to everything was, "I'm not sure." And you know, they're absolutely certain this bitch is in on it. She's fucking helping this guy. What the fuck is going on? They're asking about the trip to Portland, you know. "Oh yeah, we're out to lunch and somebody broke the window, so we had to get a new window, we had to get the window fixed, and whatever." So anyway,
she with him when he did?
No. Oh, nope. Okay. So they arrest him, they put him in jail, and then they start recording their phone calls to each other, and they talk baby talk to each other constantly, like, "Oh, how you doing, sugar plum?
Oh God."
And her gross. Back to him, and it's like they're just, everyone wants to just vomit. These phone calls are so disgusting. They even warn each other, like, "Don't listen to this unless you want to puke." And that's how what this girl
childish.
said. I was warned, you know. And she said, I couldn't believe it when I heard it. So He finally goes to court. His name was, are you looking it up, Jay?
Is this the story? Or no?
Yeah, I think that, wait, is his name, no, his name is Din, D-I-H-N, Din, fuck, what's his last name? Yeah, that's him. That's him. That's the motherfucker. He finally goes to trial. Din Bowman, that's him.
Nice name.
I think it took a couple years to get to trial. And he is totally confident. He's talking to his wife. You know, totally confident he's getting off.
Oh, he looks like a dick.
Can't even imagine that there's any way they're going to convict him. He testifies himself. He has a famous lawyer, too. He's got a real high hotshot lawyer from the area. And he says that this guy, he cut the guy off by accident, and the guy went wacko, was chasing him, turned into this big road rage thing. The guy threw a wine bottle at him that just missed his head.
Hey, where's that wine bottle at? Nobody recovered it from the scene.
He threw away all the evidence. He threw away everything. He got rid of his gun. He got rid of everything. And he got, you know, he tried to get, I didn't even get that emotional on the stand, actually. He was still pretty, his fucking arrogant, stupid ass self. So after three, it took him 3 days. They come back and he's talking on the phone with his wife while this, you know, the second day. And he's like, can you believe it's taken this long to acquit me? I can't believe this. And she's like, I know. It's so obvious. My God, this is ridiculous. So the third
what
day,
an
they
arrogant asshole.
They convict him. And then they have the sentencing. And to sentencing, the guy's like, I can't believe it. He's bawling his eyes out. He finally breaks down and acts like, you know, he's Mr. Upset about the whole thing when he'd been Mr. Cool, you know, collected. Everything's fine. I didn't do shit. You know, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Finally breaks down. He's like, I can't believe the jury didn't believe me. That's the first thing he says at his sentencing. You know, instead of apologizing for the fact that this guy's dead, you know, telling his family, I'm so sorry. No, no. It's all about him. I can't believe the jury didn't believe me. And he begs for mercy. The judge gives him 29 years and he just like collapses. But I couldn't believe he only got 29 years. 29 years for a thrill kill?
Yeah, well, it's first degree, too, wouldn't it?
Yes, totally first degree. I don't know if they convicted him of first degree. I don't know if he was convicted of first degree.
What happened to her, then?
See, can you see when they get him on the stand, Jay, or when he's in his jail shit and he's bawling?
I mean, she was in on it, right?
No, she was not. She only, after the fact...
And what do you mean after the fact?
She helped him hide it. And they were debating whether to charge her with that crime of whatever that crime is of...
aiding.
Yeah, aiding and abetting, I guess.
Yeah.
And they decided not to charge her. I have no idea why. I thought it was total bullshit. She was no help. What are you looking at?
So I Googled his name, right?
Yeah.
And then his wife's name popped up. So I Googled his wife's name. It turns out she's a dentist.
Oh, yeah, she's a dentist. She's divorced him now.
So I Googled her with the dentist, her new name with the dentist, and there's Yelp reviews, and the first Yelp review is, Dr. Bowman's baby talk really put me at ease.
What?
Well, he obviously saw the 48 hours.
Okay.
Dr. Bowman's baby talk really put me at ease. I couldn't quite open my mouth large enough for it to get into my wisdom teeth. This is where most dentists get frustrated. Not Dr. Bowman, though. She used this as a teaching moment. She also showed me a photo of her murdering husband crying at his sentencing, which showed that your mouth can't open, like so big. Also, her office was cold, but she offered me Snuggies and a pacifier. Thank you, Dr. Bowman. Was he crying with his mouth open like, meh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There he is. There he's crying right there.
Jennifer talks baby talk to all their patients, just like her prison inmate ex-husband. She called me Snuggles, too.
That was the name.
She then gave me a shot right through my car window to my entire head went numb. When people asked questions later, she lied and lied and lied and simply said, I have no idea. She has dyed that mousy hair now and has changed her name, but you can't hide that face. I'm sure she'll end up in prison one day and not as a prison dentist.
She changed her name.
Those are Yelp reviews on her business.
They don't have him bawling?
Yeah. Wow.
That's the best part is him crying like a baby.
Wow.
Instead,
do you recognize
she
it?
She said she wanted to speak from the heart.
I miss Yancey every day, and I don't know what it's like to grow old with him.
Yancey, a popular wine steward, had many friends. Today, several asked the judge to give Din Bowman the maximum sentence of 32 years.
It's pretty apparent that he's a psychopath.
He made a conscious decision.
32 years? Why would he get anything but life?
Just for the thrill of it.
They believe Bowman targeted Noel, a complete stranger, because he wanted to know what it would feel like to kill someone.
His lack of emotion, trauma, shock, remorse, or any kind of feeling
None,
at all
zero.
Only confirms my belief that he will never understand this unbelievable wreckage he has caused.
Bowman showed no emotion during the trial last month, but today it was all tears.
I'm disappointed that the jurors didn't believe me.
The 32-year-old still claims self-defense, saying Noel attacked him throwing bottles into his car during a road rage incident.
Yeah, right.
He did not apologize to Noel's family and friends today, but he did say this.
I hope that in this process and here, you're able to find some closure. This chapter is a horrible chapter of their life.
Noel's girlfriend covered her ears when Bowman addressed the court, and friends defended his character, calling him a gentle man with a kind heart.
You would never in a million years have ever thrown anything at anybody for being cut off in traffic.
You know, people that do self-defense like that usually run off and hide and color their rims and fix their broken window.
Of course.
What a dick.
I'm trying to think, what fucking system, what charge would you end up with only 29 years for that? Why wouldn't that be life in prison? Thrill killing someone?
Well, like you said yourself,
it still
though.
Comes down to the charge, which I thought was first degree, though. Maybe they opted for, it's not second degree, though. They knew why he did it. He was doing it for a thrill. Everyone knew that.
Possible audio separated at birth there.
Because my boss would have never done that. No, he would never knowingly done anything like that.
No, it said it was a first degree murder trial.
Fucking, he gets out when he's 61. He and Hink Dog.
Oh, cool.
They're like buddies.
Oh, my God. This guy loved his hair, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did.
What an asshole.
It's really funny. I said that Saturday night. I was like, this guy's so in love with his hair.
He's a former child prodigy, too.
Yes, for genius, supposedly a genius. And
oh, clearly.
So he was trying to pull the Leopold and Loeb thing, I guess, eh?
Yeah.
Weren't they the thrill kill guys in the 1920s?
Yeah, in Chicago.
Yeah, they were both genius prodigies, weren't they?
Isn't there something about their glasses that gave them away? Or
yeah, he left his glasses at the scene. Right. His glasses fell off at the murder scene. They wanted to thrill kill someone.
He's genius.
They had this game plan, and they killed this guy. And yeah, his glasses fell off, and they identified him. By the glasses. They
wow.
did. That's right. Yeah. And that was in the 1920s, I think.
Wow.
And they both went to prison. One of them got out. One of them actually
really?
Lived long enough to get out. The other one, I think, died in prison.
Did people give him a bunch of one-star reviews? I don't know why that made me laugh so hard.
I'm just laughing hysterically that you looked up the dentistry and the reviews on Yelp. Fucking
well, it
hilarious.
Popped up pretty quick. I don't know.
I mean, it's there's no end to what you can look up. There's just no end. Every story has someone you can look up and see what kind of product they provided.
Everybody likes to review stuff. Oh God, yeah. I don't know. I'm just reading about Leopold and Loeb now. I want to.
It was a thrill kill, wasn't it?
If one of them got out.
Yeah, he did, and he lived. He lived for a time.
Died
in
Puerto
society.
Rico.
Yeah, I read the story,
That's,
too.
That's Leopold.
I think one of them was involved in all these experimental things, too. When he was in prison, he volunteered to be a experimental subject for all these, maybe for drugs or something.
Is that one that died in there? Let's see. Leopold's post-prison years. After 33 years and numerous unsuccessful parole petitions, Leopold was released in March of 58. In April, he attempted to set up the Leopold Foundation. To be funded by royalties from Life Plus 99 Years. Is that a book he
fucking
wrote?
Fucking believe that?
Yeah, he wrote an autobiography that was published in 58.
Wow.
He moved to Puerto Rico to avoid media attention, married a widowed florist. The Brethren Service Commission accepted him as a medical technician at its hospital. So, yeah, I guess he went and lived a A-OK life.
How bizarre. What about Loeb?
He died, and one of them died in prison, it looks like.
Yeah, there was something odd about his death in prison, too.
Looks like he was murdered.
Yeah. He was killed. Was he killed?
Day, some guy named Day, James Day.
Oh, I forgot. They were homos together, too.
Leopold and Lowe?
They homoed around, yeah. They developed a sexual relationship. Because they were committing crimes together. They were committing, they graduated larger and larger crimes until they decided they want to murder someone. Because they were so smart.
So he got stabbed in the shower, Mark, if you saw that.
Yeah, with a straight razor. Yeah. Oh, well, that's just a shame.
That's good. Too bad it couldn't happen to both of them.
Loeb's last words to Leopold were, "I think I'm going to make it." Leopold then washed his friend's body as an act of affection.
Oh.
Would you guys wash my body if I was dying?
How fucking bizarre. Jesus Christ. No, the answer is no, absolutely not.
Make it happen.
Day claimed afterwards that Loeb had attempted to sexually assault him. However, it may have been the other way around. Rumors suggested that Day had desired sexual favors from Loeb, who refused him. Many doubted that Day's story was true. It was not likely that he acted in self-defense.
I think there was some homo around there.
Sure. He's gay?
I read a book about that, and I'm pretty sure there was homo action. Not that it matters. I mean,
they were in love.
They were lovers.
Loeb could no longer afford to bribe Day with gifts after his allowance was cut by Mommy and Daddy.
Ah! Mom! I can't bribe Loeb with my allowance anymore because you cut it!
Leopold became a model prisoner. He reportedly mastered 12 languages. In addition to the 15 he already spoke, bullshit. Nobody knows 27 languages.
I know. I mean, isn't it pathetic? These guys were so brilliant, and they fucked their lives up doing that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember how old they were. Weren't they young? Really young when they did that?
I'll let you know. Let's see.
I want to say they were teenagers.
Let's see. They're born in 04 and 05. Murder of Bobby Frank. Yeah, 19 and 18.
Wow. So they were 13 and 14 years old? Holy
no,
shit.
No, no, no. They were 19 and 18 years old.
Oh, 19 and 18. Okay.
Yeah, I thought you meant 19 and 18. I'm sorry. The two young men grew up with their respected families in the affluent Kentwood neighborhood on Chicago's south side. The Loebs owned a summer estate in Charlevoix, Michigan, in addition to their mansion in Kentwood, two blocks from the Leopold home.
Yeah, they were loaded.
I was just trying to find out if they were lovers, like what it says in here.
Trust me, they mowed around.
Mowed around. Wow.
Which is fine. I mean, it's their choice. And two men dig each other. That's great.
Except they murdered somebody.
Yeah. They're mowing around. That's some pretty nefarious activity.
To cement their mowing. Oh, I didn't know they poured acid on the face of the kid.
Oh, that's right. It was a kid. I forgot about that.
As well as the genitals.
Yeah, it was a horrible story. It was horrible. Great way to wrap up the podcast, though.
with two horrible true crime stories.
Yes, why not?
Wow.
Why the hell not? Hey, the other one was a good story. I was so glad to see that crying baby get 29 years, although I was pissed off he didn't get more.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
But I would like to thank a new friend of the podcast, the darling Sherry Gittinger. Sherry got me this cool Beatle kit. It looks like a Beatle drum kit, actually. Yeah. It's shaped like a little drum head. And it's a Beatle photo album, and it's got some stories.
That's cool.
The Beatles, yeah. She said since we haven't figured out a way she can contribute to the podcast yet, she wanted to get this for me.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, she was aware of my Beatle fan mania, my Beatle mania, my never-ending Beatle mania. It's really cool, too. Thank you very much, Sherry. It's really sweet. Certainly don't ask people to provide gifts for the program.
No.
But that's really nice.
Although I was at my parents' house over the weekend, and I found more decorations for my youth to bring in.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Oh, it's atrocious. It's pretty bad.
What's coming next?
A painting of the Muppets that I made when I was a little kid.
All right. We're gonna make show and tell a regular feature. Mark, show and tell.
I think it's funny.
Mark, show and tell.
I think it's really funny coming across all this crap that my parents have kept for years and years. I mean, I really do appreciate that they kept it, because now being 40, looking back on it and how awful it is, it's just bad.
Sherry, by the way, works at the School for Rock and Pop?
Right.
What's that?
It's a Detroit music school of some kind. I mean, I like that it's a rockin' school.
See if there's any reviews for it, too. One star!
No, we won't really.
My kid didn't get a record deal after attending the School of Rock and Pop.
I have a feeling Sherry's heard that before.
Oh, really?
Why does my kid have a record deal?
Oh, God.
What is this?
Parents are the worst.
Oh, yes. She's a co-owner of the Detroit School of Rock and Pop. Rock and Pop. The Detroit School of Rock and Pop Music. So, yeah, I'm sure it's a, you know, like those fancy schmancy places in New York.
That's pretty neat.
Those groovy schools kids go to.
Oh, I know where this joint is. Drive by it all the time.
Really?
Yeah, it's in Royal Oak. It's on Washington, I believe. Absolutely, I know this place.
Really?
Yep. You wouldn't recognize the storefront.
I assumed it was downtown because it says Detroit School of Rock and Pop, but no, okay.
The Detroit metro area, same thing.
Yeah, so if your kid's into rock or pop, or a future rock or pop star.
Oh, I'm sending Charlotte immediately.
Call the Detroit School of Rock and Pop.
They take 2.5-year-old, they do preschool.
Of course they do.
Well, see,
they think Charlotte would be a wonderful candidate. Charlotte's got a great future in music, they said. They've already said that.
I was going to ask if you're going to start keeping some of Charlotte's stuff. You know, like you're talking about the painting of the Muppets.
Oh.
What about a San Diego Padre?
Stockpiling some of her stuff.
You know what? It's funny. I do actually have some stuff. She made me one day about 40 painting or pictures of just her drawing on a blank piece of paper.
Oh, cool.
I was standing there and she came running and go, "Here, Dad. Here, Dad. Here's a new one." And then she'd run and like 40 times in a row.
Be sure to take that to Sherry so Sherry can see how talented this child is.
I don't know if you knew this about little kids. They like to repetitively do things over and over and over and over to the point of just pure exhaustion.
No idea.
Yeah, she always goes, "I need to do paperwork." And she sits down at the desk and starts drawing.
Who are all these guys, Jay? Are these teachers?
I need to do paperwork.
Okay. Yeah, they got quite a lineup of talent there. Yeah, there's Sherry. Take drum lessons with Brent. You can take voice lessons with Tony. Or you can get billed by Sherry.
Wait, who's Jazzy and Sammy?
Jazzy and Sammy, they're for the lobby fun and games. trumpet lessons with Jimmy Smith.
Well, that's cool.
Andrew Schuster, recording engineer. Well, I'm going to be a recording engineer. Dan Belleville, guitar lessons, film scoring, video game music. Bass lessons from Chuck. So, yeah, check it out.
That's very nice of you.
That plug was worth a lot more than that book. We're way overboard, Sherry. Going away. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a good one. Enjoy part 2, hopefully, and we'll see you.